And so he writes a note to his daughter, and this is what he said. It is an awful thing to wake up on Easter morning and want to shout, "He is risen," and not have the voice to do that. But it must be far worse to wake up on Easter morning with a voice and have no desire to shout, "He is risen." As we come to this Easter morning before us, it's time for a little heart check for each and every one of us. What is it that is on our heart? What is the message that our heart wants to sing and speak and shout? Where is our voice and what is our vocabulary? The central message of Christianity is that the pivotal point of all history is the resurrection of its founder, Jesus Christ. And this truth changes everything. Charles Hughes was an elected and an appointed official of the United States of America in a number of capacities. And on one particular occasion, he has been appointed by the President of the United States to attend a conference on his behalf in Latin America. Many of the speakers will be speaking in the Spanish language or other languages, and he is assigned a translator for his benefit. Hughes gives the translator this assignment: "Sir, I want you to give me a running commentary on everything you hear. However, when the speaker says but, uses the word but, everything that follows that word but will be significant. And I want you to give me a precise word for word translation. The words that follow but might change everything." And we understand that in a political sense, in a diplomatic sense. And as we come to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, we read these words: "But now Christ has been risen from the dead." Up until this point in the chapter, the Apostle Paul has been talking about the negative implications of the resurrection. If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, then what's the case? Our preaching is in vain. Our faith is empty. We are dead in our sins, and those who have died following Jesus are dead forever. Preaching is powerless and pointless. Faith is empty. The Christian faith is empty. Sin still rules the day. And with all the madness and mayhem out there, if sin hasn't been covered and conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ, then all the mess that we witness every day in life will continue and it will not make sense. And bottom line is, death has the final say. Death has the final say in life. But Christ has been risen from the dead. The words that follow the but make all the difference in the world. Now Paul moves to the positive implications of the resurrection. We note that there's tons of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's little historical debate that a man named Jesus walked this planet 2,000 years ago. A public execution assures that this living man is dead. A high official with the seal of Rome using a heavy stone, soldiers who are under the threat of execution for leaving their post, they seal this tomb that is now full, occupied by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of guards, the tomb is found empty. And now many people claim to have seen Jesus alive. Again, we're only 25 years out of the event. Those who have witnessed and claim to have witnessed seeing Jesus after the crucifixion are now subject to interrogation, questioning, one-on-one conversations. And along with all the claims to have seen Christ alive, we note that his apostles are dramatically changed. The night before the the crucifixion. In the garden, they abandon Christ. When Christ is crucified, they are absent from the scene. When Christ is entombed, they're off in hiding for the next 3 days. And yet, in just chapters, we find these men boldly, publicly proclaiming to the face of those who have harassed them and who continue to harass them with imprisonment and torture and ultimately martyrdom, they are dramatically changed. And being in a position to know the truth, they never recant their story. And then we have Jewish believers who are steeped in tradition, changing their day of worship in honor of the one who's been resurrected. The evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is compelling. And what are the effects? Preaching, the teaching of God's word, is powerful and life-changing. The Christian faith is not a hoax. Sin has been fully paid for at the cross. Catch that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that God was satisfied with the payment for our sin. Fully paid at the cross. It also means that suffering has an end point in our life. That not even death and the pain and the discomforts of this world can destroy us permanently. If Christ is not risen, then really nothing matters. There's no lasting hope for life's hurts today. There's no lasting purpose or meaning in life. There's no dream that we will anticipate or experience that will not fade with the passing of time. If Christ is not risen from the dead, really nothing matters. But if Christ is risen from the dead, then nothing else outside of this fact truly matters. The empty tomb is full of meaning for today and for tomorrow, for each and every one of us. What distinguishes Jesus from everyone else on the planet? Can he be just a nice option amongst the many options out there? What's the distinction? What's the difference? You go to the tomb of the gentle Buddha today, what will you find? A full tomb, an occupied tomb. Go to the tomb of the energetic prophet Muhammad that many revere today, and what will you find? A tomb that's occupied. If you go to the tomb of the ruthless Joseph Stalin, what do you find at his tomb today? A dead body. If you go to the tomb of the iconic Abraham of the Judaistic faith, what do you find? The bones of Abraham. But if we go to the tomb of Jesus Christ, what do we find? Empty, because he is alive, and that changes everything. The unique claims of Jesus separates him from all others. They demand a verdict for us today. And we can reject Jesus, but we cannot ignore him. Christ has been raised from the dead. Let me give you three golden nuggets for your Easter basket this morning. If Christ is risen from the dead, your search is complete. Your search for a point in life, a path in life, a meaning in life is complete. Jesus is the answer. In verse 22, Christ, in Christ, all will be made alive. Jesus is the answer. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. That changes everything. And today you can have peace with God, not just for today, but for all eternity, by coming to Christ, acknowledging that you're a sinner, confessing Jesus Christ as God in human flesh, and receiving the free gift of salvation. And I invite you to do that today. Don't leave here without knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's the Savior of your soul. He's the Lord of your life. You see, he's the Lord of life because he's the Lord of death. And he is the Lord of death. And if he is the Lord of the dead and the living, then he is Lord of everything in my life. If he's Lord of everything, he must be followed. As we sang just a few minutes ago, as the verses were spoken by Don and Marlene, we must follow Jesus. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to begin a series about journeying with Jesus. We're going to jump in at the early days of his public ministry in the early accounts of the Gospels, and we will walk with him to the cross and through the cross in the next many weeks. And I invite you to join us for this journey with Jesus. You see, he's worth studying because he's risen, because he's God, God the Son of God. And we need look no further for meaning and movement, peace and a point in life. Not only is our search complete, but if Jesus is risen from the dead, then the Christian has the best of all life options out there for today. In Christ, all will be made alive. There is a present reality, a present reality of hope if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, a Christ follower. If Jesus is false, if his resurrection is false, the scriptures say we should be pitied. I mean, that is the greatest fool in life to follow a liar or a lunatic. Someone who made things up or his followers made things up. If it's false, Jesus' followers are to be pitied. But if it's true and the evidence supports it, then Jesus' followers are to be envied. They have the best life as we wait for eternity. We have a present reality. Doesn't mean we have the absence of problems. Doesn't mean we don't have hurts in life. In fact, sometimes it seems like we have even more, but we don't walk through life alone. And there will be an end to sufferings and separations. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that is at work in us today. And that power wants to explode in your life. And today it may be exploding for the first time as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Don't wait another moment. Wait another day. Make your commitment to Jesus Christ now. Receive that free gift of salvation. And then begins the lifelong process of growth and maturing in him. If Christ is risen, the search for meaning is complete. If Christ is risen, the Christian has the best of all life options now. And if Christ is risen, death is done. Death is put to death. Christ has been raised from the dead, and then it goes on to say, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Now, that's a little tongue-twisting, a little confusing. The first fruits, what's he talking about? Well, the first fruits, if we step back into that era of history, it's a reference to farmers going out and checking their crops, checking their fields. And they would gather in some of the early results to inspect the quality and the quantity of the harvest to come. Goes on to say here that Jesus Christ is the first fruit of what? The resurrection. Jesus' resurrection signaled what is coming. The resurrection of all Christians. The believer's resurrection. And that can be your hope and that can be your certainty this morning. Christ is risen from the dead, and that changes everything. We started off with looking at the British preacher William Sangster. He is in the final moments of his life. And he was given the diagnosis by the doctors, told that it would be fatal, it would be debilitating, and he would slowly move into this incapacitated state. Sangster said that on learning of the certainty of what was ahead of him, he made four resolutions. I will never complain. I will keep my home bright. I will count my blessings. And I will try to turn my pain into eternal gain. The time that I have, I'm going to use for the Lord. He soon was no longer able to speak. No longer able to preach is what he loved to do. He's confined, and now he can't even communicate with anyone outside of writing, and eventually that leaves him. So he throws himself into the spiritual discipline of prayer, doing what he can, all he can, for the benefit and the hope of others. He had a resurrection hope, and it showed out very practical in every part of his life. Christ is risen from the dead. And for those of us who have resurrection hope, it means that we are eager for the future. What does the future hold for the Christian? An eternal relationship and peace without human limitations with Jesus Christ. We are eager for the future. When we have a resurrection hope, we go to sleep with confidence in heaven, and we awaken each morning eager for God's continued working out of his plan, his purpose, his history. And thirdly, when we have resurrection hope, we use every opportunity to share our hope with others. And God has given me this opportunity this morning, and it is my privilege to present to you Jesus Christ the King, the resurrected Messiah. And he's reaching out into your life. He wants to be your Messiah. And not simply for a quick fix or a quick shot of adrenaline and energy, but to be a lifelong companion with you. And he invites you to follow him. When Neil Armstrong stepped foot on the moon in 1969, the headline said, "The greatest step for mankind." That was a wonderful moment. It was a great moment of accomplishment and celebration. But the greatest steps for mankind were not the steps onto the moon, but the first steps the Messiah took out of the tomb. And it blew everything away. And it gives us hope. And it gives you hope today. I encourage you to unwrap that hope and find your hope in Jesus Christ. He is alive, and that changes everything. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing one more song as we conclude this morning. Our God reigns. As we sing it, as you sing it, as you hear the words being sung, they are words of hope. They are words of direction. They are words of invitation for us. And they are words of commitment. And I invite you to deal with Jesus Christ. May this be the greatest Easter you have ever experienced as you find peace and joy and direction in the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you spiritually, that is what we're here for. Encourage you to talk with us afterwards. Let's sing to the Lord this morning as we conclude.